Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Zechus Rosh Hashanah, Daf Vav, the first parak of Rosh Hashanim. This Masechta has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chaya Bas Esther. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings another braisa that teaches the various chiyuvim that the prohibition of Baal Ta'achir applies to based on the following pasuk. Mosvi Sfasecha Tishmor Vasisa Kasheni Darta L'Hashem Elkecho Nadava Asher Dibarta Beficha. What emerges from your lips you shall observe, and you shall do just as you vowed to Hashem your God, on Nadava that you spoke with your mouth. The braisa stated, Beficha, with your mouth, refers to tzedakah, that one would transgress if he delayed bringing it. Rava said, Utztaka Mechayiv Ala Altar. In the case of Staka, one is chayiv immediately, even before any yanta passes. What's the reason? Because poor people stand before us who need staka without delay. When the Gemara remarks that this is obvious, it answers that you might have said that since the prohibition against delaying staka is written in context of karbanas, one should not be chayiv until three regalim pass, as in the case of karbanas. Rava therefore is coming to teach that it's only in the case of karbanas that the chayiv is after three regalim, but in the case of tzedakah, the chiv is not contingent on the passage of the regalim, because poor people are common and need staka immediately. Pointing to Rava also said, once the three regalim pass, one is chayv each and every day for violating the mitzvah of Baal Ta'achir. The Gemara explains that since the mitzvah of Baal Ta'achir does not apply at night, since karbanos cannot be offered at night, therefore the mitzvah is renewed each morning. When the Gemara brings up Braisa to challenge Rava that state that one is chayv for Baal Ta'achir when three regalim has passed and did not state that one is chayv each and every day, it answers that Rava can answer that the Tana is seeking to explain when the vow would begin to be chayv for violating a prohibition. But is not seeking extra, meaning repeated, prohibitions. And pointing me through, Rabbi Zera inquired, Isha mahi b'Baal Ta'achir. What is the status of a woman with regard to the mitzvah of Baal Ta'achir? Mi amrin ha lo mechayv b'riya. Do we say that she's not obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah, which requires appearance in the base of Migdash on the regalim, and therefore she should not be subject to the prohibition against delaying? Or perhaps we say that she's chayiv in the mitzvah of Simcha, which requires one to visit Yerushalayim on the regalim, and therefore she should be subject to the prohibition against delaying. Abai said to Rabbi Zera, let it, referring to Re'iyah against delaying, emerge from the fact that she's chayiv in the mitzvah of Simcha. The Gemara asks if Abaye really said this, for Abaye has said, Isha Baal Mesamcha, in the case of a woman, it's her husband who's chayiv to make her rejoice in the regalim, and the woman herself is not chayiv to observe the mitzvah. The Gemara answers that Abaye was asking according to the view of Rabbi Zera, who clearly holds that a woman is chayiv to rejoice on the regalim. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara brings another braisa that teaches the various chiyuvim that the prohibition of Baal Ta'achir applies to based on the following pasuk. Motzis Fasecha Tishmor Vasisa Kasher Nidarta L'Hashem Elkecho Nadava Shedibarta Beficha. What emerges from your lips you shall observe, and you shall do just as you vowed to Hashem your God, on Nadava that you spoke with your mouth. The Braisa stated, Beficha, with your mouth, refers to tzedakah, that one would transgress if he delayed bringing it. Rava said, Utztaka Mechayiv Ala Altar. In the case of tzedakah, one is chayiv immediately, even before any yanta passes. What's the reason? The Hakaime Anim, because poor people stand before us who need stuck without delay. When the Gemara remarks that this is obvious, it answers, you might have said, since the prohibition against delaying stuck is written in context of karbanas, one should not be chayv until three regalim pass, as in the case of karbanas. Rabbi therefore is coming to teach that it is only in the case of karbanas that the chayv is after three regalim. But in the case of tzedakah, the chayv is not contingent on the passage of the regalim, d'hai shchicha enim, because poor people are common and need stuck immediately. Pointing him to Rabbi also said, Kevin she'avru lav gimel regalim, once the three regalim pass, one is chayv each and every day for violating the mitzvah of Baal Ta'achir. The Mir explains that since the mitzvah of Baal Ta'achir does not apply at night, since karbanos cannot be offered at night, therefore the mitzvah is renewed each morning. When the Gemara brings up Raisa to challenge Rava that stated that one is chayv for Baal Ta'achir when three regalim have passed and did not state that one is chayv each and every day, it answers that Rava could answer that the Tana is seeking to explain when the vow would begin to be chayv for violating a prohibition. But he's not seeking extra, meaning repeated, prohibition. And pointing me through, Rabbi Zera inquired, Isha mahi b'Baal Ta'achir, what is the status of a woman with regard to the mitzvah of Baal Ta'achir? Mi amrinan halu mechayv b'riyah. Do we say that she's not obligated in the mitzvah of b'riyah, which requires appearance in the base of Migdash on the regalim, and therefore she should not be subject to the prohibition against delaying? O dilma ha'esa b'simcha. Or perhaps we say that she is chayv in the mitzvah of simcha, which requires one visit Yerushalayim on the regalim, and therefore she should be subject to the prohibition against delaying. Abaye said to Rabbi Zera, "V'tepeklei da'ai esa b'simcha." Let it, referring to Rechiv against the laying, emerge from the fact that she's chayv in the mitzvah of simcha. The Gemara asks if Abaye really said this. For Abaye said, "Isha bal masamcha." In the case of a woman, it's her husband who's chayv to make her rejoice on their goyim, and the woman herself is not chayv to observe this mitzvah. The Gemara answers that Abaye was asking according to the view of Rabbi Zera, who clearly holds that a woman is chayv to rejoice on the regalim. All right, so now we go to Simcha Dav Vav, and her standard simon is a sword, because a vav is straight like a sword. So there you go. So here goes. The wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chayv for Baal Ta'acher each and every day after the deadline, realized his wife was feeling left out of Baal Ta'acher, so he gave her a beautiful sword necklace to be mesameacher for the chag. So once again, in slow motion. The wealthy sword swallower. Sword? That must be on Duff Vav. The wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, which reminds us, we learned from Befichoth that one is chai for Baal Ta'acher on tzedakah, and he has to give it out immediately because the anim need it immediately without delay, and he shouldn't think that he's only chai after three regalim pass, like in the case of Karbanas. So the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Baal Ta'acher each and every day after the deadline, which reminds us, one is chai for Baal Ta'acher for each and every day after the deadline passes. The Mir explains that since the mitzvah Baal Ta'acher does not apply at night, since Karbanas cannot be offered at night, therefore the mitzvah is renewed each morning. So the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Baal Ta'acher each and every day after the deadline, realized his wife was feeling left out of Baal Ta'acher, so he gave her a beautiful sword necklace to be mesamecher for the chag. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zer inquired if women are chayv in Baal Ta'acher, perhaps since they're not chayv in Re'iyah, they're not chayv in Baal Ta'acher, or perhaps since they are chayv in Simcha, they are chayv in Baal Ta'acher. According to Abaye, women are not chayv in Simcha, rather it's the husband who's chayv to be mesamecher. So once again, the wealthy sword swallower who gave out tzedakah immediately to the anim, lined up and watching him perform, because he learned that one is chai for Baal Ta'acher each and every day after the deadline, realized his wife was feeling left out of Baal Ta'acher, so he gave her a beautiful sword necklace to be mesamecher for the chag. Alright, now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf base, so the simmer daf base is a bais, is a house. So here goes. The royal house, that must be run daf base. The royal house where a king sat on his throne as the shtar was being signed, according to the year of his reign in the month of Nisan, which reminds us, the opening Mishnah teaches that the first of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for Malachim, which Rav Chisla said is needed with respect to shtaros for documents. It was taught in the Mishnah, shtar echov v'amukdamim psulim, mukharim v'ksherim, predated debt documents are pasul, while post-dated ones are kosher. If the loan document is predated, the lender could use it to unlawfully collect properties that the borrower sold before the actual date of the loan, but after the date recorded in the document. Since shtaros are commonly dated using the year of the king's reign, it's necessary to have a standardized method of reckoning that year to determine whether a particular document is predated or postdated. So the royal house where a king sat on his throne as the shtar was being signed, according to the year of his reign in the month of Nisan, featured a massive mural depicting the history of Klal Yisrael from Yetzias Mitzrayim, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan said, from where do we know that we count the years of kings only from Nisan? Makish Malka Shlomo with Yetzias Mitzrayim. The pasuk compares the reign of Shlomo to Yetzias Mitzrayim with respect to counting the years. Ma Yetzias Mitzrayim min Nisan, a Malka Shlomo min Nisan. Therefore, just as the years from Yetzias Mitzrayim are counted from Nisan, so too the years of the reign of Shlomo are counted from Nisan. So, the royal house where a king sat on his throne as the shtar was being signed, according to the year of his reign in the month of Nisan, featured a massive mural depicting the history of Klal Yisrael, from Yetzias Mitzrayim all the way to the death of Aharon. Which reminds the Gemara is how we know we count the years from Yetzias Mitzrayim from Nisan. Perhaps we count them from Tishrei. And answers that one should not consider that possibility, since, when referring to Aharon's death that took place in Av, the Torah describes it as occurring in the 40th year from the Exodus. And referring to the beginning of Moshe's speech in the beginning of Chumash Dvarim, which was said 5 months later, with Tishrei in between, the Torah also describes it as occurring in the 40th year. Makal the Rosh Hashanah, love Tishrei Hu. It is evident that the Rosh Hashanah, with respect to Yetzias Mitzrayim, is not Tishrei. Daf Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Gimel is a Gamal, a camel. So here goes. The camels, camels. That must be more in Daf Gimel, Gamal. The camels competing in the great annual camel race, taking place in the second month, in the second. Which reminds the Gemara brings a different source to show that the years of the king's reign are counted from Nisan, Morazir said it's derived from V'yachol, even though it's Bechodesh Hasheni B'sheni B'shnas Arba L'Malchuso. He, referring to Shlomo Melech, began to build the Beis HaMikdash in the second month, which is Iyar, in the second, in the fourth year of his reign. What does the pasuk mean by repeating in the second? L'Sheni L'Yerach Shemonim Bo L'Malchuso. Does it not mean the second month after the month from which the king's reign is counted? That is, Iyar is the second month of the king's reign, which begins in Nisan. We see from here that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings. So the camels competing in the great annual camel race taking place in the second month in the second race past the non-Jewish king whose reign was counted in Tishrei. Which reminds us, with regard to the Mishnah's ruling that Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for kings, Rav Chisda said, they taught this ruling only with respect to kings of Israel, but with respect to the kings of the other nations of the world, we count their reigns from Tishrei, since, in referring to an incident with Nehemiah that took place in Kislev, the Pasuk describes it as occurring in the 20th year, and referring to an incident that took place later, in Nisan, the Pasuk also describes it as occurring in the 20th year, but called the Rosh Hashanah, Lev Nisan, who evidently the Rosh Hashanah with respect to the king's reign is not Nisan. And once we know it's not Nisan, it stands to reason that it begins in Tishrei, which marks the new year in many other contexts. So the camels competing in the great annual camel race, taking place in the second month, in the second, race past a non-Jewish king, whose reign was counted in Tishrei, and who was beginning to look sour as he realized he was about to lose this massive bet. Which reminds us, when Rav Yosef challenged Rav Chisda's ruling that the reign of non-Jewish kings is reckoned from Tishrei, based on Psukim referring to Dar Yavesh's reign, where Tishrei did not trigger the next year count of his reign, Rabbi Yitzchak answered, Koresh mel kasher ayat lafichach manulo kamalchi Yisrael. Koresh, referring to Dar Yavesh, was a virtuous king, therefore they reckon his reign as they would for kings of Israel from Nisan. When later Psukim were brought to demonstrate that Nisan did not trigger the next year of his reign, Rabbi Yitzchak answered that it was not a kasha, Kadim Kodem Shehichmitz, here in the parsha about the resumption of the temple's construction, which reckons Dar Yavesh's second year as beginning in Nisan, the reference is the period before he soured, Kanul Acher Shehichmitz, whereas here in the parsha which does not reckon his seventh year as beginning in Nisan, the reference is to the period after he soured. And then we're on the next up, we'll discuss how Dar Yavesh soured. Daf Dalet, so the Simur Daf Dalet is a door. So here goes. The door, that must mean we're in Daf Dalet, door. The door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, which reminds us Rav Kahana objected to Rabbi Yitzchak's contention that Dar Yavesh soured by the time of Ezra's journey, for it's written in a letter that he sent with Ezra to give the governors of Yehuda that the Jews should be given whatever animals as offerings and supplies they needed daily without fail. Rabbi Yitzchak answered that from this very passage we can see that he acted purely for selfish motives rather than the sake of heaven. For Dar Yavesh says, so they may offer pleasing offerings to God of heaven and pray for the lives of the king and his children. The more questions if this is problematic, for it's taught in a brisa concerning one who says, I donate this el to tzedakah, so that my son shall live in this chus of the mitzvah, or that I should have a share in Olam Haba, harzat tzadik gamur. This person is a complete tzadik. So why should Dar Yavesh be considered self-serving? The Gemara answers that this is not a difficulty, kan b'Yisrael, kan b'ovdei kochavim here. The brisa deals with the Jew, while here, in the case of Dar Yavesh, we're dealing with idolater. So the door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, and was made of alternating rows of wood and marble. Which reminds the Gemara brings three differences between how Shlomo Melech and Dar Yavesh built the temple with rows of wood between rows of marble, which demonstrate how Dar Yavesh had soured. So the door to enter the shul featured a huge slot for giving tzedakah to get into Olam Haba, and was made of alternating rows of wood and marble. Whereas the exit door next to it had a Yom Tov calendar posted on it, reminding members not to transgress the Lo Sase of Balta Acher. Which reminds the Mishnah that Nisan is also the Rosh Hashanah for the Regalim. And the Gemara explains the legal significance, Nafkamina Lenodir Lamekam Alei B'Balta Acher. The Nafkamina relates to one who made a vow with respect to subjugating him to the Lo Sase of Do Not Delay. One who voluntarily vowed to bring an offering is prohibited to delay fulfillment of his vow beyond a certain period. The Gemara brings a five-way machlokas regarding when one transgresses Balta Acher. Our mission is like Rabbi Shimon holds Shal Shagam Kesidron V'Chagam Matzos Techila. The three Chagim must pass in sequence with Pesach first. Daf Hey, so the Simur Daf Hey is Hey. So here goes. The children joyously jumping in the hay. Hey, that must mean we're on Daf Hey. The children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, which reminds us, the Gemara asks where the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon derive that Shavuos has 7 days of Tashlumim, and answers that they derive it from the source presented in the Braisa taught by Rabbi Bar Shmuel, which taught The Torah said two things, count days and sanctify Rosh Chodesh, count days and sanctify Chag HaShavuos. This teaches, just at the beginning of the month is sanctified for a period equal to one of the units by which it is counted, meaning a day, so to Shavuos is sanctified for a period equal to one of the units by which it is counted, meaning a week. So the children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, watching the Baal Ta'achir parade, featuring several chiyuvim such as Nadarim and Nadavos, as well as Pe'aleka and Tzedakah, which reminds us that Brais on Dav Dalad Amud Aleph listed several obligations that are subject to the prohibition of Baal Ta'achir, such as Nadarim, Nadavos, Hekdeshos, Tzedakos, Maisos, Bechor, Pe'aleka, Shechel, and more. The Gemara here brings a source for each of these rulings. So the children joyously jumping in the hay for the 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, watching the Baal Ta'achir parade, featuring several chiyuvim such as Nadarim and Nadavos, as well as Pe'aleket and Tzedakah, were fascinated when one man noticed a blemish on his offering and transferred its kedusha to a substitute. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks what the Brais is referring to when it teaches that one is not chayv for Baal Ta'achir for delaying payment of chilufa, its substitute. And after the first explanation is rejected, Rav Sheshet said, Kagon sha'arbu lav shnei regalim v'humam. We're doing the case where two regalim passed, and then the original Olah Shlamim became blemished, whereupon he transferred its Kedusha to another animal, and one more yantav passed. You might have thought, Hoyo umikoch kamakas. Since the substitute comes by virtue of the first offering, it's treated as a single offering that passed three regalim, and the owner should be chayiv for Baal Ta'achir. The pasuk is coming to teach that he's not chayiv. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.